This is Central Time. A new project is looking for your help in keeping tabs on Wisconsin wildlife. The Wildlife Data Integration Network is out to create more citizen scientists to help them get a more complete picture of wildlife health. We have Megan Hines and Chris Marsh in the studio with us. They're both with the Wildlife Data Integration Network. Megan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And Chris, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So, first of all, what are you trying to tap into here? Some of us are already sort of doing this, but maybe don't even know it. Megan, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So we have a couple of different projects that we're working on as a part of this Global Health Institute project, essentially looking for novel sources of information for discovering wildlife health events in the news, as well as from citizen scientists, and looking through passive observations that are shared with us through Twitter.
And then, Chris, how do you mine this? What kind of things are you watching for on Twitter?
That actually is a better question for Megan.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Megan.
She's
been working closer with the folks.
Sure. So working with some computer scientists faculty on the UW campus here at UW-Madison, Jerry Zhu and his graduate student, Jun Ming, we've been looking at training his machine learning system, which essentially takes keywords and looks for observations of wildlife health reports from the general public. And we're looking for firsthand reports. So I saw a dead bird or I saw a dead squirrel, things like that. And so in using this machine learning system, we're essentially trying to train it using natural language processing techniques and other techniques to better identify these observations.
So I see a dead crow in my backyard. I type a note, and then this project, ideally, you know, I put it on Twitter or something, and then this project scouts it out and adds it to the data, the roster.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. So with the different information channels, that's exactly what we're looking to do, is to glean this very basic epidemiological information from the wildlife health event, you know, where it was located, what kind of species were affiliated there, and some other basic information. And then we can turn those information, that basic kind of passive observation, into a standardized point of data. And that can help to build up what everyone is looking for in kind of the epidemiological health area of baseline understanding. You know, how common are these events? Is this something significant? And so it's in the power of uniting these different sources of novel information that will help to complement the traditional sources that you see coming out of state agencies, federal agencies, and so on.
So do we have a shortfall in the data we have now?
Yes. We are hoping to fill that gap of information with these novel sources, mm-hmm. looking at the news, filtering Twitter, and also significantly getting contributions from citizen scientists. One single report from a person is highly valuable, especially when it contributes to the larger group of observations.
So right now, the people who are tracking this stuff maybe know what's going on state lands, or the stuff the DNR wardens are seeing, but that sounds like a huge gap then to be filled in.
Right, totally. So that's essentially what we're doing, is reaching out to the general public to make them aware of the significance that these individual contributions can make to that baseline understanding, as well as to help identify perhaps something new emerging. So like an example, in the last year or so, there have been some salmonella outbreaks that had to do with birds at bird feeders and perhaps not being as clean as they should be. And so the DNR received a lot of these reports about kind of seeing birds at the bird feeders that had some interesting characteristics, and were able to respond with those citizen observations to say, hey, you know, pull your bird feeders, either keep them down or, you know, wash them with bleach. So it helps with some response strategies as well.
So right now, it sounds like the first step is just taking advantage of what people are already doing. Are you also going to be trying to get more people to go to Twitter, go to Facebook, and make these kind of reports?
Yeah, exactly. We've been doing a number of outreach efforts over the past year, and we're trying to reach both the general public to make them aware of these tools, and that these professionals out there are interested in seeing those observations. And we're also doing outreach to people who might consume that data, who might want to take advantage of the alerts and the email alerts and the RSS alerts that come out of this system, essentially to keep them up to date. And provide a possibility for collaboration and communication to respond to these events.
Well, a lot of people care about wildlife, would be interested in helping just for that reason. Is there something more in it for us, though, if we know more about the diseases affecting the non-human animals in our state?
Absolutely. Wildlife health can tell us or be an indication of zoonotic diseases that we as humans need to be concerned about, and also foreign animal diseases that our domestic animals could be a problem for.
So here's what's in it for us. If we tweet sick animals, seeing sick animals, dead animals around, we might help track down a disease that might someday jump to us.
Correct.
Am I hearing that right?
Correct.
Now let's talk about the concept of citizen science more generally. It's a word, it's a phrase that I've heard floating around a lot. Is there a value to, you know, the non-trained lay people like, you know, me getting involved and helping out with science?
Certainly. I mean, there, if you think about it on the landscape, you know, how many in this particular area, how many wildlife biologists are employed and looking for these observations? And like you said, that they may be biased towards monitoring state or federal lands. And so we've got a large gap in private land ownership and reports that we could take advantage of the general public from. But it's also, you know, I think it's transforming and kind of burgeoning right now, this field of citizen science, because of this access to technology, smartphones, and all these applications that enable people to, you know, easily contribute what they see. And there is some value, you know, that a lot of citizens find from contributing to this data set, especially if they're, you know, shown how this information can be used to supplement this traditional information.
A lot of times when I've heard in the news about citizen science, it's usually in the astronomy field. You know, somebody makes a discovery of a comet, an asteroid, a star, a galaxy, something like that. And I think it's just because there's so much universe out there, all the astronomers can't be watching it all at one time. Are you going for a similar thing with our Wisconsin wildlife?
Absolutely. We are trying to use the power of observations through citizens to expand the capacity to find these events and make a record of them.
Is there any kind of training we could use? I mean, I'm not going out there with a thermometer and sticking it in, you know, a deer's mouth to assess its well-being, right?
No, we do not encourage people to interact with wildlife, whether it's healthy or sick. Mm-hmm. But the basic observations of if you see an animal that appears to be sick, that you can make an observation of the date when it happened, the location, the species, just very basic information can be extremely helpful.
Let's talk about how it works on a practical level. I see that sick animal or the animal acting strangely. I get note the time and place. Do I just tweet it to my buddies, or are there ways that it can be drawn to your attention so that the smart computer doesn't have to dig quite so hard?
Yeah, currently with the one of our projects, the Wildlife Health Event Reporter, anyone, members of the general public or professionals, can sign up for a free account and then essentially start to make a report, just like Chris said, you know, essentially looking for the date, location, and some basic details. And if there are photos that can go along with it, that might also help a lot, especially on the other end when we invite scientists and researchers to look at this information. Having that additional observation information, such as pictures of the area where the event took place or pictures of the animals themselves, would be very helpful.
Now, who on the other end, we've kind of talked on what we, the citizen scientists, would be doing. You get that data, you surf Twitter, you take these accounts and collect that info. Who then gets to look at it and try to make sense of, uh-oh, we've got a crow disease outbreak in Sector 7?
So oftentimes a lot of these reports really aren't about disease. It's just an observation itself. But those can be very helpful. You know, Chris said on earlier, at the individual level together, they can start to show a picture of where you might to, you know, raise red flags and see concern. You know, this is still a very experimental tool, but we do have people who monitor and sign up for alerts that come out of the Wildlife Health Event Reporter project. Essentially, anyone can sign up to receive email alerts or RSS feed alerts, which are essentially data. And so that XML RSS feed alert can be linked into outside systems, too. So we're not necessarily asking people to, you know, change what they're doing, but provide this additional channel of information.
Did you invent this from whole cloth, or is this something that's working elsewhere and people here in Wisconsin got excited and said, hey, that's an idea we should borrow or steal?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the citizen science kind of application itself is, like you said, it's kind of burgeoning, and a lot of people are starting, scientists are starting to engage the public with their research in order to kind of establish a broader net of observations. In the wildlife health realm, there are a few other applications going on the internet. There are some people who are interested in roadkill observations to help transform kind of transportation planning, or even to monitor habitats that are sensitive, where you might have salamanders doing over road crossings and things like that. But anyway, yeah, it's a pretty broadly used kind of technique to gather additional information.
If we're just about out of time, but I want to know if someone's hearing this and says, I can do that. I can help out. What's their next step? How do they get in touch or where do they go to find out how to contribute information?
Sure. They can Google or Google the Wildlife Health Event Reporter Project or WHER, W-H-E-R, and sign up for an account or some of the alerts that are available there. They can get in touch with us with the School of Veterinary Medicine, Megan Hines and Chris Marsh.
All right. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Chris, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Megan Hines and Chris Marsh. They are both with the Wildlife Data Integration Network.